Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It's said to be the first real long-term test of any new drug, the marketplace, because millions start using it then. That's why the Institute of Medicine recommends a go-slower approach and longer arms for the FDA.
Almost always, a drug is approved on the basis of limited clinical trials. So an Institute of Medicine panel asks, why is that drug all but ignored by the FDA after it's out on the market? Unknown risks could be revealed, says panel chair Sheila Burke.
A drug tested in a few hundred or a thousand people is certainly very much different when, in fact, it is used by millions.
This report recommends warning symbols and advertising bans for newly approved drugs and a fresh safety review after 5 years. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The chairwoman at Hewlett-Packard, Patricia Dunn, has resigned over the company's spying allegations in pursuit of a boardroom leak. CBS News computer consultant Larry Magan.
This is a situation that is shocking, I think, the entire business world and especially Silicon Valley. Hewlett-Packard is known as a company which is pretty open and pretty progressive. So for them to resort to these types of tactics that they've now admitted is really quite a shock.
Drew's voice was heard today.
The man who raped and killed University of North Dakota student Drew Shadeen in the Thanksgiving season of 03. Alfonso Rodriguez got the death penalty today.
We won't tolerate any longer the violence against women, much less our children.
That's Drew's mom, Linda. A woman was killed. Her fetus cut from her stomach. Her three older children are missing. Police in Illinois have a woman in custody, not yet charged. State Police Captain Craig Kaler.
We're continuing to conduct our murder investigation, and we are considering the death a murder. At this point, the focus of our investigation is mainly on the recovery of these children.
Police think the three children may have been left in a rambling park in East St. Louis. Maybe. They were last seen with the woman who is now in jail. So, how many televisions do you have in your home?
Americans love their television.
Television is not going gently into the night, defeated by the laptop and the iPod.
A Nielsen Media Research survey finds the average home now has more television sets than people. Why so many? Syracuse University's Robert Thompson says we don't watch the tube like we used to.
We miss those old days when TV was a way we could kind of all together sit and watch as a family.
Thompson says there are very few shows that attract the entire family, and that's why half of American homes now have three or more. Four sets. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
In Georgia, the Elections Board has decided to appeal the voter ID card ruling. A judge had declared such a requirement unconstitutional. The State Elections Board says making sure voters are legal is a worthy enterprise. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 25 points today to close at 11,508, NASDAQ off nearly 19. Oil prices, $60.30 a barrel, down $1.29. This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve, take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
A new study says there is truth in the old joke line, no sex please, we're British.
4 out of 10 Britons say they'd be prepared to give up sex if it meant they could live to be 100. The study by a British health insurance company found significantly more women than men would take up the celibacy offer. But there's no enthusiasm for a long and lonely life. 94% said they would not give up friends, family, and money just to live 100 years. Vicki Barker, CBS News, London.
Now, fortunately, that is not the choice. Recent studies have shown married people with a great sex life live longest. Ask teachers where the most accurate source of news can be found, as the future of the First Amendment study did, and 48% say newspapers. Of course, you do have to read them. Ask teenage students the same question, 45% say television. The study also found 90% of teens are at least somewhat interested in current events, and most go online to get some of their news at some time in the day. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and unpredictable. From the left coast, this is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. They named this little thing after me. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go? Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show is on the air. Your calls and comments are welcome at any point because this is a two-way talk show and dialogue's important. We provide the toll-free number and we pay for the call. It's your free speech. Use it. My number is 888-5-PETER-B. In digits, that's 888-573-8372. You're also welcome to email me whenever you like. The email address, peter@peterbcollins.com. We have three great guests on the program today, and each one of them has enough to say that they could be here for the entire 3 hours. Next hour, Scott Dick, in his weekly visit to the Peter B. Collins Show. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He retired as a major from the U.S. Army, and there's a whole lot to talk about, including General Abizaid's remarks that no troops are going to be coming home before next summer. And actually, our troop levels in Iraq have crept up to almost 150,000 again. Also, last week when Scott was with us, he brought to our attention a bill on Capitol Hill that would change the strictures on chaplains and permit them to be much more forward in their proselytizing and their presentation of specific religious viewpoints. And we've got somebody who's deeply opposed to that. Mikey Weinstein will join us during Scott Dick's hour. And he is a former judge advocate general in the United States Air Force. He graduated from the Air Force Academy. Three of his kids have. One of them is there right now. And he is livid that Duncan Hunter wants to, well, reduce the separation of church and state in the military. And in our third and final hour today, our weekly visit with Brad Friedman on voter integrity issues. And Brad needs about 6 hours today. But we're going to talk about the meltdown last week in Maryland. And the governor there has said no more electronic voting machines. He wants paper ballots this November. We'll also talk about Brad's advocacy for the Let America Vote Act using paper ballots this November. The photo ID bill in Washington. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s new article. Oh, there's so much more to talk about. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I hope you listen as long as you can. And before I introduce our first guest, indulge me for a comment. We've been talking at some length on this program over the past few weeks about the sordid bargaining over America's policy regarding torture and the trial of detainees. And a deal has been struck, and once again the White House appears to be an insincere participant in a deal. Senator McCain left the White House yesterday saying, yeah, we've got a deal. But it doesn't include habeas corpus, and it does remove some of the most onerous proposals from the Bush White House. But the White House left an opening saying, well, we're going to have to check with Duncan Hunter and see if the House will go along with these Senate changes. And this is the point where the Democrats can no longer sit back and just watch the Republicans duke it out amongst themselves. And I am calling out Senator Barbara Boxer, Senator Russ Feingold, John Kerry, if you've got something to say, this is the time to speak up. Because the Republican machine wants to jam this through and have it voted out of both houses by the end of next week. There is no imminent need to do that. And I hope Democrats will stand on principle, threaten the filibuster, and defer this issue to the next term. That's what I'd like to see, and I hope that the Democrats will step up to the proverbial plate. Joining us now from Washington, D.C., where he is a professor of psychology at Georgetown University. He's also a senior fellow at Stanford University's Center for Interdisciplinary Policy, Education, and Research in Terrorism. He is Fatali M. Mogadam, and he is the author of a book called From the Terrorist's Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to get your perspectives on a number of issues. You were born in Iran, and so I take it, just guessing at your age, that you grew up under the regime of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi.
Well, yes. I experienced Reza Pahlavi, and I was quite happy to have him ousted. He was one of the shameful episodes in American foreign policy that Pahlavi was supported, and if the Mossadegh regime had been allowed to continue, we would not have been in this mess at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have an interesting history, and a little bit later I want to get you to talk about your experiences in Baluchistan and your impressions of America's intervention on behalf of the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in the 1980s.
Yes.
But first up, Professor, I wanted to get your reaction to the unusual events at the United Nations this week. There was an opportunity for our president to have some sort of an encounter with the Iranian leader, Ahmadinejad, and like a schoolboy, you know, he avoided it, and they talked past one another. Bush talked over the heads of Iranian representatives at the UN and directly to Iranian citizens and other residents of the Middle East in a way that I found patronizing and condescending. But tell me your thoughts about the events this week and the posture of the U.S. toward Iran.
Well, as a psychologist, I'd have to say that over the last almost three decades now, the United States and Tehran, the Tehran regime, have acted very immaturely, both of them. They've acted like adolescents. They've acted on their passions, their emotions. They have refused to use rational reasoning. They have really not got over certain incidents. Iran has not got over the U.S. support for the Shah, and the U.S. has not got over the hostage-taking. It's a situation where we need to put both of them in therapy and both groups of them in therapy.
And you were in Tehran at the time of the hostage crisis.
Yes, that's right. Some of my students actually took part in the hostage crisis. It was an event that has been repeated in the sense that the mullahs in Tehran have worked out a very smart strategy, smart in the sense that it keeps them in power, a strategy of bullying the United States to take threatening action, and through that threat, the regime in Tehran mobilizes support internally and represses any voice of freedom internally, So it works to their benefit. They use the threat of America, the threat of American intervention. And, of course, these days, all they have to do is point to Iraq and say, do we really want that? And, of course, nobody wants that,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Near and Middle East. They know very well what's going on in Iraq. And so this threat is used to repress internally.
And it is, I think it's somewhat similar to the U.S. policy toward Cuba and Castro's reaction. He continually uses Uncle Sam as the wedge to keep his population under control.
Absolutely. I think this is a policy that has backfired again and again for the United States. And unfortunately, it's a policy that has been followed by both Democratic and Republican administrations.
Indeed. You're right about that.
You know, it's something that they have to get over.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deal with these regimes by simply saying we're going to ignore them and throwing a tantrum every time they appear.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with reality, and all you're doing is helping them to bolster the repression. It will be much more effective if they actually opened up and used whatever the powers they have to get cultural exchanges, to get more and more people coming and going. That's how those repressive regimes will collapse.
Mm-hmm. Professor, it's time for a break. As we continue, there's much more to talk about, and I want to give you an opportunity to define from the book that you wrote what you call the staircase concept in evaluating terrorists and their intentions, what motivates them. Looking forward to talking more with you, so stand by. We'll return in a moment. And if you'd like to talk with Professor Fatali Mogadam, he's with us this entire hour, you can get on the phone now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm still Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello?
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K-Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Beike have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Are you tough enough? Is America tough enough?
10 miles on the mile, 10 feet. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I need to be. I'm whistle with the line and the busy bell. It's my life, baby, but
we're talking with Professor Fatali Mogadam. He is a professor at Georgetown University in psychology and also part of a prestigious group at Stanford University that looks at terrorist activities. And his new book is From the Terrorists' Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. And Professor, focusing again on Iran for the moment, do you believe that there was an October surprise before Ronald Reagan took office? You know what I'm referring to, that there was a back-channel deal to release the hostages in exchange for what later became the Iran-Contra affair, the resupply of parts and military materiel to the Iranians.
Right. Well, I was in Tehran at the time, and I really don't have any additional information to what you have over here.
Mm-hmm.
However, the street talk in Tehran was that certainly there was a deal.
The reason I bring it up is that Robert Parry, who is an investigative journalist, and you can read his work at consortiumnews.com, he published a piece earlier this week talking about the threads of first the October surprise, then the Iran-Contra affair, and how that has affected U.S.-Iranian relations.
Yes.
And the Bush family in particular, because George W. Bush was allegedly present at the Paris meeting October 16th of 1979, no, it would have been 1980, during the election year, where the deal was allegedly struck. And there is a thought that, you know, there's a thread that runs over the past 30-plus years of these tensions between the U.S. and Iran with the Bush family in the middle.
Yes. Well, the Bush family has been in the middle, and the tensions have not disappeared. And what I would focus on, rather than going into any specific sort of theories that might be conspiratorial or not, what I would focus on really is the issue of what the decision should be made of. And as far as I can see, there's a gut reaction, an emotional reaction right now among Americans as well as decision makers. If you talk to Americans about the hostage taking, if you talk to them about 9/11, there are passions, very strong passions, and there should be. But the problem is that these passions, these emotions are being allowed to drive decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting us into trouble. On the other side, the Iranians have the same problem. Their policy is very much passion-driven, and it is getting them into problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get over this.
Yeah. And part of the reason I raise this is that my sources indicate that there is a very serious plan that goes beyond contingency or scenario planning on the part of the Bush administration to launch military action against Iran in the very near future. Now, the deadline was unilaterally extended by the U.S. to early October for compliance with the call to halt enrichment of uranium.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mr. Ahmadinejad in New York over the past couple of days said, hey, we're not building nuclear weapons. We don't want nuclear weapons. They're not consistent with Islam. And therefore, you know, what's the problem here? Now, I don't particularly believe that denial. I don't take it at face value. At the same time, I don't believe there's an imminent threat that requires immediate military action by the United States against Iran.
Yes, the talk in Washington certainly is of a military threat and specific plans to attack, possibly. And this is why people have to speak up now, because in my view, and I think in the view of most people who have looked at this carefully, a military attack on Iran, first of all, will not topple the regime.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it will strengthen the regime. Third, it will extend the catastrophic violence in the near and Middle East. It will put American lives at risk at even greater numbers. And the price of oil will shoot up to $200, $300.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think this will benefit America at all. It could get the Republicans' political benefit in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Very succinct and very well put. Thank you, Professor. Now, to Ahmadinejad, do you believe him when he says that they don't have plans to build a nuclear weapon?
I really don't have much faith in the leadership of Ahmadinejad because he is not acting in the best interests of Iran. I believe we should rely on UN sources rather than American sources at the moment, because at the same time, I don't have much faith in what could be coming out of Pentagon, for example. I think what has happened is there is a lowering of trust in the government sources in the United States. That is a major problem. There is a lowering of trust because there has been so much misinformation. When we look at the situation in Iraq, the mismanagement of Iraq, the misinformation on Iraq, just cannot lead any rational person to have much faith in this administration's information at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I would much rather rely on the United Nations, although it is much maligned by all parties. I would rather depend on the United Nations and insist that be the only source rather than any factions within the United States.
Okay. Let's take a call. Alice is on the line from Humboldt this afternoon. Hello, Alice. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter.
Hi.
I'm the professor.
Hello.
Hugo Chavez made some insulting remarks about President Bush, and some people are offended by that. That makes it appear that we, the people, are behind the president. I'm for sure not. And say, go Hugo Chavez.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Alice. What's your reaction, Professor, to Mr. Chavez's performance at the United Nations?
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. There's a basic psychological process in intergroup dynamics. Extremists on one side will support and strengthen extremists on the other side.
Interesting.
What Chavez is doing is calling out names, just as this administration called out Axis of Evil.
Yes.
And said, you are evil, you are bad. On the other side, they are shouting out the devil, great Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So this name calling, as if it's a couple of teenagers angry at each other.
Yeah.
Name calling, what it's doing is...
I've got to stop you there, Professor. We'll pick up after the break. We're talking with Fatali Mogadam. His book is From the Terrorist Point of View. Your calls are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Your calls and comments are welcome as our guest continues to the top of the hour. My number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372. Your calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency, just like everybody else. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're talking with Professor Fatali Mogadam. His book, From the Terrorist's Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. He's a professor of psychology at Georgetown University, and he was born in Iran. Professor, I want to give you a chance to continue your comments that we had to ruthlessly interrupt for commercial break activity. You were responding to Alice's comments about President Chavez of Venezuela and the kind of frat boy name-calling that he engaged in. And I do have some empathy for his response, because he was trying to ridicule Bush, and he was trying to respond to some of the name-calling that has emanated from the president, even at the same podium there at the United Nations over the past few years.
Yes, well, I think some Americans quite rightly have been upset by Chavez's name-calling, as many Venezuelans have been upset by remarks about Venezuela and Chavez. Similarly, I would say many Iranians and many Muslims have been upset by name-calling from this side. Things like the axis of evil is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if I may, we use the term, I'm going to back up, the administration uses the term terrorist in such a broad way that it is applied to a lot of people incorrectly and is used in these sweeping denunciations and sweeping characterizations that you're either with us or against us. And so if we're going to criticize rhetoric coming out of people who speak at the United Nations, we should apply some self-criticism as well as appropriate criticism of the behavior of Chavez.
Yes, exactly. But I would add to that that one of the effects of this, the psychological effect, is to mobilize extremists and to shift the forces so that on both sides what you have is extremists coming to the top and the middle ground is shrinking. So people who actually want to have dialogue and negotiate, they are finding they are shunted to the side.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I'm not really offended by the characterization of our president as the devil. I think that in some ways it's appropriate. He's led to an inferno in the Middle East that I believe could have been avoided.
Yes, it certainly could have been avoided. There is no doubt that the mismanagement of Iraq has created terrible problems, and the mismanagement of Afghanistan is creating terrible problems. What bothers me most is that the United States is losing a historic opportunity, because after 9/11 there was so much sympathy around the world for the United States, so much support, so much goodwill, that it created a golden opportunity for the U.S. to step forward and lead us towards a new era. But unfortunately, mismanagement in Iraq, particularly, there are probably between 150 and 200,000 people dead there. We don't know all the details yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that tragedy and the decline in the standard of living, the terrible situation there, people only having 3 or 4 hours of electricity a day in Baghdad, that kind of situation where life has declined rather than improved, that has put American prestige and influence around the world in peril.
Mm-hmm.
And that does bother me, because I look to the United States to provide leadership where it matters. And unfortunately, that is not going to happen unless we get a very different type of approach.
Mm-hmm. And Professor, tagging on to the Chavez subject, one of the things that I've seen, in the Bush family, now that we have the second president from that dynasty, the tendency to personalize conflicts. And so with Bush 1, it was Noriega who was the new Hitler, and then he was replaced by Saddam. And George W. Bush has come in and, again, personalized these conflicts in ways that I think is seriously mistaken. And you talk about this in your book as this desire by Americans to individualize the conflict with terrorist groups. And you say that we need to look beyond individuals, more at the group level. Explain.
Yes. To explain terrorism, it seems to me it's completely wrong to focus on individuals. First of all, we're talking right now about terrorism coming out of the Islamic world.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem prominently right now. Of course, that's not the only kind of terrorism. I was in Ireland during the height of the IRA activities. There is Basque terrorism, Tamil Tigers, etc. We could add to the list on and on and on. But for now, let's stick with Islamic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
That terrorism, it seems to me, is emanating from a deep and pervasive identity crisis that's sweeping across the Islamic societies, both in the Western world and outside. So even if you look in Europe, in London, in Birmingham, in Germany, in different parts of Europe, you find the same kind of identity crisis. This crisis has on one side extremists, Salafists, Wahhabists, who want to take Islam back to what they think is an ideal world.
Mm-hmm. The caliphate.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
they envisage that to be the ideal world. And of course, people like me believe that not to be the case. On the other hand, we have extremists of a different sort, what I would call Western copyists, blind copyists of the West, who say, let's drop everything we have as our heritage and let us copy the West. That's what we have to do. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground, an authentic, constructive middle ground. The reason why it doesn't exist is because of despotism, because of dictatorships. And unfortunately, the West and the United States in its leadership has consistently supported dictators in the Near and Middle East,
mm-hmm.
in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait. The war to free Kuwait simply led to the reestablishment of the Emir of Kuwait.
Yes.
In Egypt,
mm-hmm.
The U.S. pays, as far as I know, several $1 billion a year in support of the regime in Egypt.
It's $3 billion, yes, go ahead.
Yes, a corrupt dictatorship. In the last elections, the Muslim Brotherhood did very well. Why did they do very well in Egypt? Getting over 80 seats from almost nothing. The reason is the so-called president, who happens to be almost a king now, handing over to his son.
Mubarak.
Yes, Mubarak went out of his way to repress any secular opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Islamic world, what we have is, unfortunately, a series of repressive regimes, and this includes Pakistan.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, one time or other has been a democracy, but unfortunately is now a dictatorship again.
Mm-hmm.
And also has the atomic bomb, and also houses Al-Qaeda. And why aren't we putting pressure on these regimes? Why are we supporting the Saudis? Why are we supporting Mubarak? Why are we supporting the Emir of Kuwait?
Well, and those actions, sir, are in direct contravention to the comments, the repeated remarks of George W. Bush about freedom and liberation and democracy. And it really either confuses or just infuriates people on the so-called Arab street.
Exactly. People over there are looking at what is being said, and they are looking at actions, and they see contradictions. They say, well, if democracy is being spread, where is it in Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have these absolutely ludicrous claims recently from the State Department that democracy is being spread in places like Saudi Arabia. Anyone with a rational, fair mind would not agree with that.
Indeed. Let's go to the phones. William from Santa Cruz, you're on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Mogadam.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Professor.
Hello.
I wanted to say, I think that there is kind of a big, disappointment, and even to a certain extent, it's very unfortunate, Hugo Chavez's remarks about Bush being the devil, because Chavez had a golden opportunity to make a very clear statement about the United States involvement and trying to overthrow him.
Yes.
It's natural to think that Chavez would consider Bush a devil, considering the meddling of the United States government in Venezuela's internal affairs,
yes.
in the fact that the United States did try to support a coup d'etat against Chavez himself personally. And I think that there's even some, it's not just a wild allegation at this point. I think that there is some substantial proof, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard recent news reports, that there is some objective evidence that the United States was involved. And so...
Well, hold on. The United States clearly supported the people who attempted a coup against Hugo Chavez,
okay.
and we continue to spend at least $5 million a year
right.
of State Department money supporting opposition groups in Venezuela. We are meddling in the internal affairs of that country, and we have not indicated any decision to stop that. And I really think that particularly, you know, my friend Nancy Pelosi made remarks yesterday that embarrassed me. To refer to him as a thug
right.
simply because he decided to use a little humor at the United Nations. If
right.
he'd given one of his stemwinder speeches, the kind that are common in Venezuela, full of passion and his populist approach, it would have been written off. Everybody noticed what Hugo Chavez said at the United Nations on Wednesday. And for my money, I think people should sit back and take a look at the message he's sending and not focus so much on the actual, you know, approach or terminology that he used.
I just wish that he had said something specifically about the United States getting involved in the coup d'etat against him.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he had been specific about that, because now he's in a sense almost distracted from that and played into the hands of some of the critics in the United States who would like nothing more than to label Hugo Chavez, shunt him aside, even...
But they're going to do that anyway.
Against...
They're going to marginalize him no matter what he does. Let's get a comment from the professor. Go ahead, sir.
Sure.
I must say I'm very sympathetic to the viewpoint of the caller, because I think Chavez missed an opportunity. I was teaching in Venezuela a couple of years ago, and I had a chance to see the climate of the country under Chavez. It reminded me a great deal of the style of leadership that Khomeini had in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Very populist. He can speak for hours and get the rabble going. He
right.
can get the crowds going. He can get everyone going. But the problem is, this kind of leadership, the Khomeini-Chavez type of leadership, tend not to be constructive. They tend to be always against something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not... happy that he's in charge, because he's not a constructive person. And I do think he missed an opportunity at the United Nations to put forward specific policies, specific ways of moving ahead, rather than entering into the name-calling that the Bush administration has already shown it can do.
I get your point, and I do understand it. My thought is that he could have given a policy speech and it would have been written off, and instead he got the attention of the world, and outside of the United States, I think what he had to say played very well. Professor, we'll take a break and return to talk about your metaphor of the staircase to terrorism. We're talking with Vitaly Mogadov. He's a professor of psychology at Georgetown University and the author of the new book, From the Terrorist's Point of View. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. 9 minutes away from the hour. As we continue our conversation with Professor Fatali Mogadam, he is a professor of psychology at Georgetown, and as we've mentioned, this powerful new book is called From the Terrorist's Point of View, What They Experience and Why They Come to Destroy. And, Professor, I think it's an interesting companion to Michael Scheuer's book, Through Our Enemy's Eyes. And, you know, this is a politically incorrect approach to be trying to understand those who we believe attacked us on September 11th of 2001. I imagine if Donald Rumsfeld picked up your book, he'd say, oh, you're one of those people who wants to give therapy to the terrorists.
Well, it is maybe politically incorrect, but I think this approach that I am taking is the one that will be effective in defeating terrorism. First of all, we have to come down to a very clear idea of what terrorism is and how it arises. You know, we can get into all kinds of debates about what exactly is a terrorist, into the old debate about one person's terrorist being another person's freedom fighter. But first we must agree that terrorism does exist. If somebody straps a bomb onto themselves and goes into a crowd of civilians and blows themselves up and kills 30 civilians, well, it seems to me it doesn't matter if the person is motivated by religion or politics or is sent there by a state or a private organization. That person is a terrorist.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. It is the weapon of those who have very few weapons in their arsenals. And that part I do understand. Likewise, the flip side of that is that you really cannot defeat terrorists or terrorism with massive military might.
Absolutely. And you can't defeat them by trying to focus on individuals either, because we know from good research, solid cases, that terrorists are not psychologically abnormal. They do not suffer from illiteracy or low education, and they don't come from economically deprived backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Those basic premises are simply wrong.
Now, in your book, you cite, and this is fairly common knowledge, that Al-Qaeda has three goals: to get the U.S. and covert U.S. forces out of Muslim lands, to stop our support for Israel, and to end our support and manipulation of corrupt puppet regimes, as you discussed, from Egypt to Saudi Arabia and in many other places. If we actually did that, would Al-Qaeda say, oh, never mind, we're going to call off the jihad?
No, because Al-Qaeda is a reaction to what is I described as an identity crisis in the Islamic world. And I think it's useful to bring in the staircase metaphor at
mm-hmm.
this point.
Please, go ahead.
Think about a staircase leading up in a building. The ground floor is where there are hundreds of millions of people, the vast majority of the population. Think about all the Muslims on that ground floor. And most of them are leading very, very dissatisfied lives, because they look around and what they're getting is messages from the West telling them that they have all kinds of rights, all kinds of freedoms. They're getting messages about the consumer life as well as the political life, where there are lots of freedoms. But in their actual world, they have almost no freedoms. And so there is a growing dissatisfaction in the Islamic world with the kind of identity that they have, the kinds of lives they have. Now, what do they do about this? Most of them do nothing. Over 99% do nothing. Some of them are searching for solutions, and they go up the staircase and they search for solutions and they go to the first floor. And here they're looking for ways, they're trying to open doors, they're looking for spaces, they're looking for ways to fight what they see to be an unfair situation. And in places like Saudi Arabia, it is very difficult. In places like Egypt, Kuwait, it is very difficult. There is corruption, there is despotism, and there are very few doors that will open. And so some people who reach the first floor will keep climbing up. They'll go to the second floor. And on the second floor, they're again looking for solutions, and the only doors that open to them, the only place where they can speak with others, are the mosques. There are no political arenas. There are no social arenas where they can have free speech. The only place they can speak to one another with some confidence that the army won't butt in, the police won't butt in, is the mosque. And in the mosques, there is talk about who is to blame. And typically, what's going on in the mosques is that targets are being selected, and the American regime, of course. America is the regime that is the target, because it seemed to be manipulating everything over there. This may be completely incorrect, but that's their perception.
Mm-hmm.
And another scapegoat is, of course, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I've written in my book that if Israel didn't exist, the despots of the Near and Middle East would have to create an Israel, because they need an Israel to displace their aggression.
Now, Professor, to conclude your staircase metaphor, as individuals climb the winding and darkening staircase, they see fewer and fewer choices until the only possible outcome is the destruction of others or oneself or both.
Yes.
And I would posit that Bush has put himself on a similar staircase with declining options as he goes further and you know, time presses forward.
Yes.
And in particular, in this dance with Iran right now, he is limiting his options, and it appears, you know, that he wants to play out the so-called diplomatic card so that he can move to a military option. And he doesn't seem to sincerely want to avoid a conflict, a military exchange with Iran.
Well, this is the great danger that along this staircase, if we think of a metaphor of President Bush and President Ahmadinejad being on this staircase, their regimes going up the staircase, there will be a misstep. There will be some missteps, and catastrophe could ensue, and this would be terrible for America, and this would be terrible for the Near and Middle East. I'm very fearful of what could happen. All kinds of problems could arise. Missiles could be sent here and there, and there would be economic disaster, political disaster, and many lives would be lost. And you're absolutely right. We are on such a staircase, and we don't quite know where we're going.
I want to thank you for joining us, Professor. It's a fascinating book called From the Terrorist Point of View. We've been talking with Vitaly M. Mogadam, and he is a professor of psychology at Georgetown University. Thank you, sir. Coming up next, we're going to talk about military veterans affairs and Duncan Hunter's plan to change the rules for chaplains to make a more Christian military. Scott Dick joins us next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A plea from the U.S. commander in Baghdad.
I need more Iraqi security forces.
Did the Bush administration threaten to bomb Pakistan back to the Stone Age?
First I heard of this is when I read it in the newspaper today.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. troops in Iraq are up against al-Qaeda terrorists, insurgents, sectarian violence, and the unique practices of the Iraqi army, which lets its troops pick their assignments. Few are picking Baghdad. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick has the story.
Major General James Thurman says he wants 3,000 additional Iraqi troops in Baghdad, but he's still waiting.
Some of the soldiers, due to the distance, did not want to travel into Baghdad.
Is it a question of their own security? CBS News military analyst, retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
There are 16 provinces in Iraq. 10 of those are relatively quiescent with about one attack per day. We're averaging, when I was over there a couple days ago, about 60 to 90 attacks per day in Baghdad.
And most of those attacks are aimed at Iraqi civilians or security forces.
General Thurman says the U.S. military is working to make the Iraqi army more mobile. Now this.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
An awkward moment at the White House today. President Bush and Pakistan's President Musharraf were holding a joint news conference when Mr. Bush was asked about Musharraf's claim that after 9/11, Pakistan was told to cooperate with the war on terrorism or be bombed back to the Stone Age.
I guess I was taken aback by the harshness of the words. I don't know of any conversation that was reported in the newspaper like that. I just don't know about it.
Musharraf told CBS News the threat was delivered to Pakistan's Director of Intelligence by then Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage. He says he never made a military threat, but
I did have a very direct conversation with the general in which I told him that Pakistan had a choice. They could either be with us or against us.
Musharraf refused to comment further today, citing a book deal. Back home in Caracas, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said if George W. Bush has any dignity, he will renounce the presidency. While in New York, Chavez called Mr. Bush the devil and an alcoholic, but in an interview with Time magazine, Chavez said the president has called him worse things, tyrant, populist dictator, drug trafficker, to name a few. CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid was at the news conference in Palo Alto today when Hewlett-Packard announced Chairwoman Patricia Dunn is out effective immediately.
I don't think this is going to affect the buying decisions of somebody who's in the market for a printer, but I think for some of their corporate customers, this could have an impact. It is certainly impacting the way people in Silicon Valley are viewing Hewlett-Packard. This is a company that has done something that is clearly totally inappropriate.
Dunn is the latest casualty of the scandal that arose from spying on journalists and company directors in an effort to plug leaks. A German maglev train, which traveled at high speed supported by powerful magnetic fields, crashed today. 23 people were killed. Just back from 12 days aboard Space Shuttle Atlantis, astronaut Heidi Marie Stephanishin Piper was taking part in a welcome home ceremony at Ellington Field in Houston when she seemed to get confused.
I figured that would never happen without the preparation we had training the team and sidelights.
Crewmates and NASA officials rushed to her side as her knees buckled. Apparently, says CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood, she suffered the effects of prolonged weightlessness.
Everyone who flies in space experiences a little bit of readaptation syndrome when they get back to Earth, making the transition from weightlessness back to gravity. It varies from individual to individual, but lightheadedness, a little bit of disorientation can persist for a couple of days.
Stephanishin Piper got to her feet again and got a round of applause.
Boy, that's not a little embarrassing.
But then she had a second episode and was helped off the stage. Now she's resting at home. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
The trouble with Vioxx.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. La, 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 la.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. This is how we do it. It's a live radio program, and we take your phone calls as we discuss important issues in the news and on the agenda of every American.
This is how we do it.
My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Scott Dick joins us this hour for our weekly discussion of military and veterans affairs issues. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I want to tip people off that some of them, I'm sure, were listening last Thursday when you were on here on the PBC show. And one of the issues you raised was about some legislation pending on Capitol Hill that would change the rules for chaplains in the military and give them more of an opportunity to proselytize, preach, and impose one religious set of views on the military subjects in front of them. And later this hour, we're going to be joined by Mikey Weinstein. And I had to record this earlier today because he is an observant Jew. It's Rosh Hashanah, and he is now at services. But he just let rip, and he is livid. He's a man who graduated from the Air Force Academy, went on to become a JAG, a judge advocate. Say that for me.
Advocate.
Advocate General, thank you.
You're welcome.
And he has three children, two of whom have graduated and one who is currently enrolled at the Air Force Academy, and they have been subject to increasing pressure to act like Christians.
Sounds like he's an unpatriotic American to me.
Well, wait till you hear him. That's coming up in about a half an hour here on the PBC show today. Well, first up, Scott, I wanted to talk with you about General John Abizay. He made some news earlier this week. I saw him on the PBS NewsHour, and he was pretty widely quoted in newspapers. And he essentially told us that no troops are going to be coming home anytime soon. Next summer would be the earliest possibility of reducing the troop count in Iraq. And he also acknowledged that the count has crept up to just under 150,000. It had been trending at about 135,000, more or less, over the last 18 months or so. And we also see the front page story in today's New York Times that we've really maxed out on our armed forces, and we've got to look again to the National Guard for any additional deployments that will take place.
Well, Peter, somebody was lying last week. Remember, we talked about this, and the military, especially the Army, came out and said, no, this is nothing new. This is the battle handover, where one unit comes in to replace another unit, and this is just a blip on the scale because we've got troops coming and troops going, and they happen to be counting them at the time when both units are in place.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's lying.
Right. Well, there's a lot of lying going on. Another story that we talked about last week was the fudging of fatalities of civilians in Iraq during July and August. And there were the initial numbers that came out that excluded, what, car bombs, suicide bombs, and
people killed by mortars, artillery, that kind of thing.
Yeah, major categories. And now the United Nations, September 20th, released a report saying that even those adjusted numbers were too low. And the actual count for July and August was over 5,100 people in Baghdad alone.
Yeah, but Peter, we can't trust the UNO, the UN, or any non-governmental organizations like the International Red Cross or the International Red Crescent, any of those people who have observers on the ground. They're all against the United States, and so they're just making our lives miserable
mm-hmm.
by telling the truth. Oh, did I say that?
Well, the other interesting thing is Abizay was asked by Jim Lehrer on PBS about the morale of the troops, about whether we're winning this thing, whether we're going to basically vacate Anbar province as we relocate troops into Baghdad to try to strengthen the security situation there. And I found his answers very unsatisfying. He was spinning politically, avoiding where he could, and offering a kind of tepid sense that, well, things are getting a little better a little at a time.
Hmm. Now, I've seen him in action as a promotable colonel. He's smart, supposed to be a smart guy, speaks Arabic, blah, blah. But, Casey came out and said today, he was quoted in the Philadelphia Inquirer saying that the Iraqi conflict is changing from a fight against U.S.-led coalition forces to an internal power struggle. Is there a more common name for that, Peter?
Civil war.
That's what I thought.
But we only call it, we'll creep up to sectarian violence, but we don't have a civil war yet.
No, and so we got Abizay on one hand saying one thing out the side of his mouth, and we have Casey on the other hand saying one thing out the side of his mouth, and he's getting crushed in this, if you excuse the mixed metaphor.
Yeah.
It's the troops.
Right.
And the Army is so strapped for cash that a family lobbying group, which is normally so in the pocket of the current administration, they actually went up to the Hill and said, we'd like to reopen our gyms, we'd like to reopen our child care centers, we'd like to give some more money back to the installations. The Army installations in the United States are having trouble paying their utility bills. They've frozen travel, which is a big thing if you're trying to go to another assignment. For example, it's not some little thing, not some general who's going off to go to conference. Those guys go anyway, anywhere. When they talk about freezing travel, it's people that are moving or going to school, and they're really cutting back on the home front. And the Family Coalition, that's a conservative lobbying group, they're concerned enough to go up on the Hill.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I didn't know about that.
And Peter, that the Bush administration has said repeatedly before the war that Iraqi oil would pay for this. And, Congress is working out a deal to push the price tag of the war on terrorism. And I just choke every time I read that because, and this is from the LA Times, they should know better, it's going to be above $470 billion.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the numbers have really careened out of control, and, if we wanted to have a debate here before the November election, I don't think it should be about the treatment of detainees, the NSA wiretap program, But we really ought to look at the cost of this war and be honest about it, because we've used various sleight-of-hand bookkeeping techniques, like not counting it in the budget, kind of like the way we count bodies in Baghdad. We do it in a very selective manner to try to pacify the American public and keep people from really understanding how much we're spending and how much we have really gotten committed into Iraq. This story in the New York Times about the lack of additional forces available, the number of Army combat brigades, they show a projection through 2007, and we are just way under the demand level. And then they show a chart here of National Guard troops, and starting in 2002, the Guard comprised about 17% of those deployed in the region, and it's up to 36% in 2005, the last period that we have figures for. So I was under the impression, actually, that some of the Guard units and the total number of Guard and reservists deployed there had declined, but that doesn't appear to be the case.
Not only that, Peter, but the other day when the president gave his speech live on prime time, and I'm disappointed in the media because nobody called him on that except for perhaps Joe Galloway, is that he said all the troops in Iraq are in Afghanistan are volunteers. That's an outright lie, because they still have stop loss in place, which is no more than forcing men and women to serve in the military against their will past the dates that they were supposed to, their contracts had expired. And it really frustrates me, because that's 10,000. In the scheme of things, that's less than 10%. You know, and the Army spinners can say, well, you know, they're in troop cohesion and troop. Well, then just don't say it in a speech.
Well, you make a very good point. I mean, the president really is oblivious. What he's really trying to tell us is that there is no draft. And at this point, given our weak state of readiness, our overcommitment to that region, and the fact that there's no end in sight, I really think Charlie Rangel is probably right. And I say this reluctantly. I'm not enthusiastic about reinstating a draft. But what we have is volunteers who come from the lowest social and economic strata in our country. And because of that, most Americans are unaffected by this war and therefore don't feel they have a skin in the game.
It's the military has always been the employer of last resort. But Peter, what he was telling people, and I felt it very strongly sitting in front of the television, he was saying it's okay that these young men and women are dying and being maimed in Iraq and Afghanistan because they're volunteers, so don't worry your pretty little heads about it.
Yeah, just go shopping and...
Right, they're all volunteers, they're all professional soldiers, so if they die or they're maimed, it's okay.
We're with Scott Dick this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome. If you have a question or an issue about military or veterans affairs, we'd like to talk with you. Lines are open right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello?
What's in the box? Tell me what's in
in the box.
Rock, roll, and real estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K-Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m. We're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast's most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5, with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area. In Monterey County, it's a problem. Highway 68 just west of Coral Drive. Apparently, an accident on the right-hand shoulder. Two pickup trucks are involved in this crash. CHP already on the scene, and the good news is no injuries, so hopefully it'll be clear rather soon. Now, we're taking a look at Highway 1, both north and southbound. Highway 1 typically slow between Ocean Street in Santa Cruz and 41st Street in Capitola, but now southbound 1 before Park Avenue in Capitola. It's a metal ladder. Watch for it. It's bouncing around the lanes of traffic and causing some slowing. Also, both sides of Highway 101 crash-free, but a little slow in and out of Salinas. This look at traffic brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. Efficiency to save money, energy, and the environment. Buy energy-efficient light bulbs and install Energy Star qualified cooling systems. For rebate details, visit FlexYourPower.org, and thanks for flexing your power. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. 20 minutes past the hour. We continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marines, retired from the Army as a major. And, Scott, we're joined by Carl from Fortuna. Hello, Carl. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, Peter B. and Major. It's a pleasure speaking to you all.
Nice to talk with you again, Carl.
I'm glad you got my email, and you got some interest in that going on post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, let's let people know that you sent me an email with an op-ed piece that you had written that was published in the Eureka Reporter.
Right.
And it's got some real practical tips for people who are struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. And what also caught my attention this week is there were stories about Congressman Patrick Kennedy, who, you know, was on Ambien and had a weird night on Capitol Hill. He's been in rehab. And he goes to a 12-step group where Max Cleland also attends. And Max has said that I don't believe he has any substance abuse issues, but he said that he's still wrestling with his demons from Vietnam and that the 12-step program is very helpful to him.
Interesting. I work a lot with the vet centers here in the area. We have a really great one up in Eureka and a great staff up there. And there is just an excellent website dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, that, not just for military, but for everybody across the board there through the National Center of PTSD Research. And that website address is www.nccptsd.va.gov.
And I'm going to repeat that. It's ncptsd.va.gov.
Right. And some very straightforward information on coping. What's happening is that there was a research project done by a Candace Momentson, who has a PhD, who works for that center, on what things veterans may be going through with traumatic events, mm-hmm. and seeing it on TV, hearing about it all the time, and starting off with the Oklahoma City bombing, on to the first Gulf War, and now on to now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see that there is a large number of not just Vietnam vets, but World War II, Korea, Bosnia, any of the soldiers and sailors that were involved with the combat situations are re-experiencing, reigniting old issues.
Mm-hmm. And Carl, do you wrestle with this yourself? Do you have some?
Oh yeah. In fact, mm-hmm. My therapy is writing about it.
Okay.
And I work a lot with. I'm happen to be the vice president of the Vietnam Vets of America chapter up here in Ferndale, California.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously very involved with the stand down we're putting together up here. We'll have quite a number of presentations on PTSD for a lot of our vets that are out there in the street still.
Now let's talk about the stand down. This is coming up October 14 to 16 at the Ferndale Fairgrounds.
Right, right. Our first one up here, we're inviting all veterans to come to this. We're going to be taking care of folks for 3 days, providing them with medical care, counseling, food, shelter, clothing, whatever they need, sort of give them a hand up, not a handout, and also empowering them with a heck of a lot of information very quickly. And, you know, if they need benefits, this is how to go about getting it. If you need long-term medical care, this is how you go about getting it. And also the camaraderie and the friendship, because a lot of these guys have been living on the outskirts of society for quite some time, and we want to try to bring them, you know, welcome them home. That's what we want to do.
And Carl, do you have any efforts that reach out to guys who are homeless or, you know, living hand-to-mouth?
Oh, yeah, yes. We work a lot up here with our county social services people in Humboldt County, as well as we have the North Coast Veterans Resource Center, which is a nonprofit that is involved with transitional housing up here, who do a lot of street work, as well as stuff, you know, we have folks living out in the mountains out here too,
mm-hmm.
Working with them on, you know, coaxing them in, getting that trust going on back there. And one of the biggest problems with stand downs is the perception held by a lot of veterans that are out there that, you know, it's part of the government, and we no it's not. These are volunteers. We have government agencies that do volunteer to help out, in from the Department of Motor Vehicles for helping out with driver's licenses to IDs to the Employment Development Division, helping them out, you know, with getting jobs and
doing
resumes, things like that.
Let's see if Scott wants to jump in here. Scott, you got a comment?
Well, Peter, it's just about in general PTSD is, you know, it's a function of combat and stress related to combat like situations. And Vietnam, and Carl can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was very unusual for troops to be sent to a second one-year tour in Vietnam. A lot of guys, they always mentioned that. Yeah, he did two tours in Vietnam. It was unusual. Now we have kids on their third and fourth tours in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just reported today by the Washington Post that the government used pre-war data to estimate the cost of caring for veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, contributing to a $3 billion shortfall in funding at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And that was written by the GAO, not by some Democratic hothead.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
Short. It's going to be tough for these kids coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're seeing folks from Iraq and Afghanistan already out in the streets, to be very honest with you. And what's interesting is the larger number of women veterans, combat veterans, are out in the streets, because women, I don't think it had ever been before involved with so much combat as they are now.
Let me get you to say this again, that we already have returnees from Iraq who have joined the
ranks of the homeless.
Incredible number of homeless Vietnam vets on the streets?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So, Peter, I'm not surprised. I mean, we've had something like 80 deaths from motorcycle accidents. These kids can't get the adrenaline rush to the head, so they're killing themselves on their motorbikes. The Army is going to crazy trying to get them to ride their bikes safely, and they just won't do it. We've had multiple cases of the divorce rate is up around, I want to say on some basis, 80%. You know, when you remove all of the structure, the support that you get at work, and you have problems at home, that's one thing. When you remove, you have problems at work, you have the support of your home life. When you have neither one of those, then I don't know what you have left.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I would say that the one improvement that these men and women are seeing over what we saw when we got back from Vietnam is you don't have people out there calling them baby killers,
mm-hmm.
and protesting against the troops because they couldn't get to the government officials. and I'm so proud of the American society for not doing that this time.
It has been gratifying, hasn't it? And also there's an opening in the American mentality that people can understand that a guy like me can criticize the administration, can criticize the war, but I don't cross the line, and people don't construe it as being critical of the troops.
Yeah, and you know, and some people will try to sell you on, you know, hey, you know, you don't support the war, you don't support the troops. That's a bunch of crap.
Yes, it is.
But going over some of the key points, you know, the thing is that there are some really good items in here of what folks can do once they start seeing themselves going through some of the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And, Carl, I'm running out of time here, so why don't you give your email address, and people who are interested could send you a note and get a copy of your op-ed.
Okay, that'd be great. That's Carl, C-A-R-L, hand up, all one word, Carl, hand up, at cox.net.
Very good. And Carl, you keep calling. I appreciate your contributions here.
You have a good day, man.
All right. Scott, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to come back and talk with Mikey Weinstein. He's the one who is a sharp critic of Duncan Hunter and those who want to change the rules for chaplains in the military, the issue you brought up last week. And then we'll talk about it. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Why must we pay attention? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. His act was such a hit at the UN, Hugo Chavez took it uptown to Harlem's Mount Olivet Baptist Church yesterday. He again called President Bush the devil and implied that Bush had a hand in the 9/11 attacks, proving that even Venezuelan strongmen spend too much time on the Internet. It was so bad that Bush bashers like Charles Rangel and Nancy Pelosi rose to defend President Bush. But the people in that church, they cheered. They waved Venezuelan flags. Of course, how could they not? Chavez is a polished entertainer, does a regular talk show in Venezuela called Hello President, where he calls Bush Mr. Danger.
You are a donkey, Mr. Bush. A
little confusion about the party mascot there. But the question, of course, is why do we pay attention to this? Why do we have to take this guy seriously? Why do we have to listen to the president of Iran, swaggering around New York, saying Iran is all about peace and love, except for death to Israel? Why do we have to listen to these guys? Well, you know why.
America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world.
Yes, Chavez was in Harlem handing out cheap oil. Once upon a time, we could jerk people around. Like the message Assistant Secretary of State Richard Armitage sent to the President of Pakistan 5 years ago.
He said, be prepared to be bombed, to be prepared to go back to the Stone Age.
Armitage says he doesn't recall his exact words. Maybe he said, bomb back to the Iron Age. But the message was clear. 5 years later, we just sit here and take it. Just make the craving stop. For $2 gas, we'll laugh at anything.
Imagine how dirty a carpet with 40,000 people a day walking on it can get. Hi, I'm David Orrick. I'm here at International Airport where my 8-pound Orrick XL is a vacuum of choice. In fact, my Orrick XL is a choice of cleaning professionals in thousands of hotels, offices, and schools around the world. To try it in your own home for 15 days, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. And I'll get it to you faster than you can find your luggage.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and Scott Dick will return in just a moment. But joining me now is Michael L. Mikey Weinstein. He is a leader and founder of a national movement to restore constitutionally mandated separation of church and state, in particular at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado. He's been a guest on radio and television. His background, an attorney, businessman, served on active duty in the Air Force as a judge advocate. That's the JAGS. He was in there for 10 years, stationed at military installations, California, New Mexico, Illinois, and Washington, D.C. He served as a federal prosecutor and a defense attorney, was the Air Force's first chief of telecommunications and information systems procurement law. And Mikey also spent 3 years as an attorney in the Reagan White House. His resume goes much further, but let that suffice for now. Mikey Weinstein, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
What do you bring to this discussion? There is a debate going on in Washington right now to permit military chaplains to be more explicit in the comments that they make, the sermons that they offer, the prayers that they invoke. And the idea, I guess, is to let evangelicals be more evangelical. But I'm a strong believer in separation of church and state and protecting the rights of people both to practice their religion and to be free from having religion imposed on them by others. And the news accounts that I've heard at the Air Force Academy after they got over the sex scandal is that they've kind of moved into an evangelical kind of mode that is really putting a lot of pressure on people there. And you have a son at the Air Force Academy.
Well, it's much more than that. I had three children there. My eldest son and his wife both graduated in the class of 2004. She's a Christian, but she's not an evangelical Christian. He's Jewish. My youngest son is a senior or first classman there now. He's the sixth member of my family to go there. I'm also a graduate. My father's an Annapolis graduate. My brother-in-law went there. It goes on and on. And this problem, I want to make sure, it started at the Air Force Academy. I then pulled on the thread on that sweater, and it was involved the entire U.S. Air Force and then bled over to the entire U.S. Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. It's a DOD-wide, what I refer to as an imperious contagion of unconstitutional triumphalism. That one particular bill you've talked about,
mm-hmm.
Here's what I think of it. It's disgusting. It's ignoble. It's unconstitutional. It's like walking into a ravine on a hot summer day in Arizona or California and smelling the rotting corpses of 10,000 swine. That's what I think of it.
Well, that's a strong statement, and I appreciate it, and I respect it. Now, Duncan Hunter is a Republican congressman from Southern California who has been pushing this issue. Do you believe this is just pandering to evangelicals here at election time?
Yeah, he's the prince of pandering, and he should be absolutely ashamed of himself. This is a disgusting thing to do. You know something? We don't allow people, if you work at Starbucks or if you work at Wendy's or McDonald's, your shift manager can't push a particular brand of religion on you. That's a violation of Title VII of the U.S. Code. It's much more accentuated and it's much more heinous when you're faced what I refer to as you're confronting the draconian specter of command influence. For instance, we have rules in the military that up and down the chain of command, superiors cannot push Mary Kay Cosmetics, Amway, or Tupperware on subordinates. But we're going to let them, and those aren't protected in the Constitution. There's no wall separating Mary Kay Cosmetics or Tupperware or things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
From the state. There's absolutely 200 years of federal case law. law that unmistakably creates a purposeful wall separating church and state, and we're going to allow chaplains to do whatever they want to do. It's worse than that. Duncan Hunter and his cronies refused to temper the language of that legislation.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans, led by Representative Steve Israel from Long Island, said, "All right, look, even if we go with it, can we at least put the words in that these chaplains must be sensitive, respectful, and tolerant when they do this?" And the Republican response: no. So not only can they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the evangelized gospel, any way they want to, they can do it disrespectfully, insensitively, and intolerantly. This is not only un-American; it's a scourge. It's the most heinous thing I can imagine. And again, we're not talking about, the Eureka School District, the Phoenix School District. We're talking about the technologically most lethal organization ever created by humankind,
mm-hmm.
the United States military, the Marine Corps, Peter, the Navy, the Army, and the Air Force. And by the way, you know, the last time I checked, chaplains don't get any special dispensation in the Constitution. Not only do we have the First Amendment, but most lawyers even forget about the fact of Clause 3, Article 6 of the body of the Constitution, Peter. And you and your listeners may be shocked to know, but our forefathers were genius enough to actually put the language in there that we will never have a religion test for any position of trust or officership in the federal government. You know, we signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776, and it wasn't until 8 years later that we passed the Constitution. In the meantime, we had this very ineffectual Articles of Confederation. But no one remembers that. That's why I think Gore Vidal was right when he says we should change the name of our country, Peter, from the United States of America to the United States of Amnesia.
Mikey Weinstein with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, here's a quote from the Reverend Ted Haggard. He's president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And he said flatly, "At this time, our country needs no legislation in this area." So he's not even asking for it, and that underscores the kind of pandering that we're seeing from Duncan Hunter and others. Now, yesterday, Senator John Warner suggested that this should not be included in a defense bill, but should be a separate piece of legislation that could stand on its own and be properly debated. Do you support that move?
Right. See, the House version is H.R. 5122. The Senate version is Senate Bill 2766. What John Warner wants to do, and I have such respect for him, is to just not allow this to go forward, and we'll hold hearings. I'm sure I'll be a star witness in a number of those hearings in the early part of the year. He's also advised that the Navy and Army the Army and the Air Force have come out with revised interim religious guidelines in the case of the Air Force, and just initial guidelines for the Navy that are so heinous, he's saying they should not even be utilized until we have the hearings. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm in federal court. October 6th of last year, I sued the U.S. Air Force for blatant violations, church-state violations throughout the Air Force. And when the Air Force passed its revised interim religious guidelines on February 9th, Peter, 4 weeks later, my legal team and I amended our lawsuit. We filed a motion before the federal judge to sue those also as unconstitutional because they allow superiors in the Air Force on duty to evangelize and proselytize subordinates as long as it's done coercively, reasonably, rationally, and with sensitivity. Now, let me tell you something for your listeners, too.
Now, wait a minute. Did you just misspoke? You said as long as it's done coercively? Or?
No, as long as it's not done coercively.
Okay, thank you.
As long as it, although Duncan Hunter would say it's perfectly fine to be, you know, insensitive, intolerant, and disrespectful, so he would probably find that to be okay. But the guidelines allow it to be done as long as it's sensitive, it's non-coercive, and it's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my problem. If a 21-year-old male prison guard has fully consensual sexual intercourse with a 45-year-old female prison inmate, it is still statutory rape. It can never be consensual enough for a prison guard to have consensual sex with a female, a prison inmate.
Mm-hmm.
It can never be sensitive enough. It can never be non-coercive enough. It can never be reasonable or rational enough, Peter, when a superior member of your military chain of command sits down to try to spread Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the rest
yeah.
of the New Testament.
I really agree with you, Mikey, and I appreciate you being so outspoken on this. And I want to talk with you again as your lawsuit goes forward. I need to move along now, but I also want to honor you here on Rosh Hashanah and wish you the best and a happy New Year.
Thank you so very much. Lashana Tova to you and your listening audience.
That's Mikey Weinstein, and he goes by the name Mikey. His given name is Michael, but he's used to it. It took me a little adjustment. But Scott Dick, wasn't he pretty forceful in his denunciation of Duncan Hunter's attempts to change the rules for chaplains?
Well, I couldn't think of he hit the bullseye, you know, exactly. It can never be not coercive. And I've seen most senior officers hold their tongue, but they go to the chapel every Sunday, and the benches line up with the bootlickers that want to be seen at chapel with them. So it's not, this is only going to get worse for the troops. I mean, what next?
Yeah, and it's such an extreme reaction, because just a few years ago, the Air Force Academy was roiled by a series of sex scandals related to the female cadets. And now it swung the pendulum in the other extreme, at least in some respects, where there is so much religious activity that it has become oppressive to those who are not Christian or not religious believers.
Peter, it was always there. It's just that they've been emboldened. The people that can't hold their tongues, they've been emboldened by the resurgence of the Christian right. I was told once, this is a fact, I was told once by a senior colonel, get that no preference off your dog tag.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's Catholic. He's a very strong Catholic. I respected him as a colonel. He was a great infantry officer, went on to become a four-star general, retired a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of looked at him and just minded my own business.
Wow. That's an attempt to intimidate you. I don't like that at all.
See, he's 6'5". He intimidated every time he talked to me.
Dave joins us from Humboldt this afternoon. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and Scott. I had much appreciated living in a country where we had freedom of religion. I am myself a free thinker, a Unitarian. I would wonder what my plight would be today in today's military. It seems like they very much have the intent to impose their way, their false beliefs. They want to make it believe that we were founded by Christian, fundamentalists, our country, and that was not the case.
Well, anyway, there's also a significant mistake in terms of perception. If we turn our military into a quasi-religious organization, it will only add fuel to the fire, gasoline to the fire, of religious fundamentalism as it's now, you know, reaching this clash of civilizations in the Middle East. It cannot help the United States to be perceived as, a nation that is religious in its foundations. And it's not true, but the perception is being generated, and we've got to fight it.
Yes, indeed. It's Scott, in a matter of minutes, I'll be standing in front of our courthouse. I do every Friday, with a big banner that says, support the troops, bring them home,
mm-hmm.
with the vets of peace.
Yeah. Scott,
Peter,
go ahead.
It also erodes the leadership mandate that a senior officer or any officer has. He operates not only on the authority of the president and the Constitution, he operates on a piece of legislation called the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so people have to do what he says to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a case where he could say, I'm taking off my bars and let's fight. That was gone 50 years ago. That's something out of the movies. Whenever he talks, people listen. In generals, it's a custom that they teach you about. When a general suggests something, that's as good as an order, for example.
Right.
And what it does is it erodes the credibility of the leader to have this kind of religious proselytizing going on, because every officer who's not on the inside circle, and leadership is a combination of leadership dyads where, you know, one person depends on other people to do his job for him. That would be his subordinates. It erodes that credibility of people who are outside that inner circle, that it's all based on their ability to either, one, kiss ass or have the same religious views.
Yeah. Dave, anything else?
Well, we fight it as much as we can, and I sincerely appreciate you both trying. But they impose the chef so much down on us. It's just dreadful.
Yeah.
Stay with it, guys.
All right. We sure will. And you stay with it, too. Thanks for going out there to hold up your sign today, Dave.
All right, Bill.
We'll continue in just a moment with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But first, a reading from the Gospel according to Jim Morrison.
When I was back there in seminary school, there was a person there who put forth the proposition that you can petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer.
What do you think about that, Jim?
You cannot petition the Lord with prayer!
Well, that's one valid viewpoint. It's called The Soft Parade. Dig it out of your classic rock collection.
And
we're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sanctuary.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hide a place for me to hide.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. Now, we usually see north and southbound Highway 1 slow pretty much starting at Ocean Street in Santa Cruz to around 41st Street in Capitola during the afternoon commute. That is the case today, but to add to this, southbound Highway 1 before Park Avenue in Capitola, an object on the road, it's a metal ladder that's bouncing around the highway. It was last seen in the right-hand lane. Let's go to Gilroy on a crash. It's southbound along 101 right at Highway 25. It's been reported partially blocking the left-hand lane, so you can get around on the right side. And just coming down now, a crash in Santa Cruz, southbound along Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. Two vehicles in the center divide. This look is brought to you by Shell and the Shell Million Gallon Giveaway. Shell's giving away free gas for life to six lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The Million Gallon Giveaway only at Shell, made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
And then they say they're going to get this all straightened out. They support the troops even after they leave the military. And it's just more crap. It's a propaganda campaign aimed at the parents of soldiers to get them to go to the polls and vote for the Republicans. It's just, if they really said what they thought. I mean, one of the first things Rumsfeld said when he came in was, why am I running schools and common grocery stores and department stores? Why can't we just close all that? And he was talking about the PX system, the commissary system,
sure,
and the DOD schools. And
uh-huh.
They see this. The report just came out of the Pentagon saying that we pay way too much for medical care, and it's going to get worse. And we're paying way too much in retirement benefits, and all of these. When I start hearing that, Peter, I start hearing them talking about the socialistic system that we have, and the military is really socialistic. You know, we provide all sorts of things, child care subsidies, all. A lot of things for these guys and gals, and it sounds like it's an unnecessary expense that, you know, they just like to get rid of.
Yeah, it's a fringe or a frill.
Yeah, $400 million for the CEO of BP, that's okay, but for a troop who's coming back after his third tour in Iraq to be able to go to the gymnasium in his own gym in his own base where his kids are trying to go to school with the budget cuts, it's, you know. Nobody talks about it, and when you try to talk to people who support the Bush administration, they go, "Well, that can't be true. That's not true. That's propaganda. That's just Democrat." You know, they just won't listen.
Mm-hmm. Billy joins us from Capitola. Good afternoon, Billy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
And it's, you know, it's really a great radio show you're running here, Peter. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. What did I do to deserve that?
It's just, you know, you're good. But you know what? This Scott Dick is a very impressive person, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I have no insight at all as a maniac into, you know, what the mind is like for these people. And he really lays it out. Scott, you're great. You really are.
Thanks, Billy.
I really appreciate it. And this thing with the pushing Christianity onto our troops, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's making me crazy thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and there's so much of it going on. We've got this guy Boykin, General Boykin, who appears to be a general in the Army of Christ, and he goes around and mixes up military and religious rhetoric in a way that is really frightening to me.
Our God's stronger than their God.
He said it was a war good against evil, and he said he was in uniform, and it was real unfortunate that he was wearing the uniform of an officer of the military. I remember I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, all the parts, not the parts that I selectively believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what frustrates me about some of these guys. This could lead to some serious issues. And I've stood in formation, Peter, with a chaplain who was either Catholic or... I'm not sure we ever had a Muslim minister, mainstream or really out there conservatives, and they all made an effort to reach out to everybody in the battalion, no matter what their religious beliefs were, and those are guys that you could go and talk to. And I have to say, people don't know this, chaplains provide the backbone of counseling for troops in the field and in garrison.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the hospital, they counsel troops when something bad happens in their families, they go with casualty assistance officers when they have to do, for example, if a soldier's father dies, who do you think tells them?
Yeah.
You know, the military is the canary in the coal mine here for us. This is there's a larger picture going on here. The mainstream religion in America is acting the way those Muslims act, you know, in countries that they control, where they really don't make it comfortable for anybody else. Pushy is not strong enough a word.
Billy, and then they go out, they get this piece of legislation entered in by this fruitcake hunter, and then when people fight it, they go back and say, see, Christianity's under siege.
Exactly.
And
the war
under
Christianity.
Siege are the troops that are happen to be the same flavor Christianity standing in formation.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's insidious.
Yeah.
Now, gentlemen, as long as I have you here, let's just take a quick moment at the expense of our other affiliates and tell people first what's on the Tasty Planet tomorrow on KRXA in Monterey, Scott.
Oh, I have Chef Michael Jones from the Movable Feast, and we're going to talk meat and chicken in terms of this Kansas company named Creekstone Farms that was sued by the USDA because they wanted to test every one of their cows for
mm-hmm.
BSE.
Great. And a side of spinach with him?
Yeah, and then a famous winemaker from our area, Mark Cheeseborough. We're going to talk what's happening in Monterey County wines, and then I'm going to do the food stories, and we're going to talk fresh produce and that kind of thing.
Okay, and Billy Sunshine, Sunday afternoon.
3 to 5. Isn't it amazing, by the way, how he gets politics into the food show? I love that.
Food is politics, baby.
You bet.
It really is. Amazing. So, yeah, well, pretty much, you know, I'm going to be ranting like a maniac about this thing about the religion and the pushiness and the whole thing.
Okay, great.
You bet.
All right, Billy, thanks for the call. Now to Steve and Salinas. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got a couple of real quick questions here. One, how can virtually any believer in Jesus Christ, join the military almost any time, but especially now? And how can George Bush and his ilk consider themselves followers of Jesus? I can't understand that.
Well, you've asked conundrum-level questions here, Steve.
Yeah, George Bush, you know, he has the highest level of executions of anybody ever as a governor, including Texas.
Well, and he reveled in the execution of Carla Faye Tucker, who was a born-again Christian.
And then he just stood up there in front of the microphone and said, bring him on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Yeah, Steve, they're good questions, well, but I hardly have an answer
for you. I wish real Christians would really be up in arms and...
Oh, I agree. If all the people who are so, you know, really worked up by the threat of men marrying men would get equally concerned about the immoral activities of the Bush administration, ranging from the war to cronyism to the economy, we'd be in much better shape. Steve, thanks for your call today.
They give Christianity a bad name.
Well,
yeah, it's true.
You're right about that.
Hey, Peter, you know there's some more cronyism going on. They just did a probe on Jackson over at HUD and found out that he really wanted staff members to favor friends of President Bush when they came to awarding HUD contracts.
Mm-hmm.
What a shocker.
Alfonso Jackson, yeah?
Yes, that's the man.
One other item I wanted to cover before we run out of time, Scott, and that is that truck drivers who were working for the Halliburton subsidiary, Kellogg Brown & Root, in Iraq, have been subject to exposure to great risks. And there are a number of incidents that have occurred where, for example, on April 9th, there was an attack against a convoy of these KBR trucks, and they had been warned, and the drivers tried to resist the order to take that particular route at that particular time, and they were attacked, and there were serious injuries that occurred. And so the truckers tried to, you know, file claims and complaints about what had occurred, and Halliburton / KBR has responded by trying to silence them by saying, well, look, just keep quiet, and we'll make sure you get a special medal. And fortunately, these truck drivers are not taking that. They would prefer justice to a medal.
Well, there's two things going on, Peter. Just let me clarify. There's been about 61 KBR Halliburton contractors killed in Iraq. So whatever they thought they were going to make, it hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's a presidential medal for civilians in the war of terrorism in the GWAT, and you can get it by participating in this way. So what KBR did was said, we're going to put you in for these medals, and when they delivered the medals, they said, you have to sign this. And what it was...
Got to stop there, Scott. We're out of time. Scott Dick, thanks for joining me on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
How children acquire speech and language is a complex process. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and two outstanding experts to understand normal speech and language development, when to seek help if there are delays, and some of the advantages of speaking more than one language at home.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. When U.S. troops are told to go somewhere, they go. But Iraqi troops have to be asked, and if they don't like the mission, they say no. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports on the dilemma.
The U.S. commander in Baghdad says he needs more soldiers there, not U.S. troops.
I don't think putting more coalition in here is the right answer.
Major General James Thurman says he needs about 3,000 more Iraqi forces to help stop the sectarian violence, but he's having trouble getting them there. Many don't want to leave their regions elsewhere in Iraq. And Thurman admits there are competing security demands across the country, but increasingly violent Baghdad is the top priority.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant who's just back from a visit to Iraq.
We need to place more and more an Iraqi face on the security in the capital. As we go in there, clear hold and build a district, and we move on to another area, we want to make sure there are sufficient Iraqi forces in the district we've passed through that can secure it once we've departed.
In a 60 Minutes interview to be broadcast Sunday, Pakistan's President Musharraf told CBS News the Bush administration threatened to bomb his country back to the Stone Age if it didn't cooperate in the war on terrorism. But today, at a joint news conference with President Bush, Musharraf clammed up.
I'm launching my book on the 25th, and I'm honor-bound to Simon & Schuster not to comment on the book before that date.
President Bush says he doesn't know anything about it, but was taken aback by the harshness of the words. The message was supposedly delivered by then-Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, who says he did talk tough with Pakistan, but never made a military threat. The spying scandal at Hewlett-Packard caught up with Chairwoman Patricia Dunn today. earlier than expected, reports CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
Patricia Dunn had said earlier this month that she was going to step down in January and stay on the board of HP, but it looks as though CEO Mark Hurd wanted Dunn out the door immediately. They believe that she's really a distraction as this investigation into HP intensifies.
Hurd takes over as chairman. There are criminal and congressional investigations into HP's attempt to plug leaks by snooping into the phone records of company directors and journalists. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnotta reports an Institute of Medicine panel is calling for changes at the Food and Drug Administration so it can closely monitor drugs once they're approved for sale.
The panel complains that the FDA lacks the authority and tools to ensure drugs are safe after they go on the market. It says for 2 years after a drug is approved, warning labels should spell out that risks and benefits may be unknown. Ads aimed at consumers should be banned during that time. And 5 years after approval, the FDA should conduct a formal safety review. But the panel admits this won't be cheap. It says the FDA is severely underfunded.
On Wall Street, the Dow down 25 points to finish the week at 11,508. The Nasdaq lost 18 points today. The price of oil fell a dollar. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that millions of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL Hotel Upright is produced right here in the good old USA. To try my American vacuum risk-free for 30 days, call me at 1-800-989-4200. And if someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my 8-pound Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Asthma, diabetes, heart disease. I see real health problems in our communities and too many people who don't see a doctor until it's too late.
Thais directs GSK's Healthy Communities programs.
We're taking a real active role working with community groups to offer free health screenings and connecting local doctors with people that really need help. It's a start toward helping folks live healthier lives, and that does my heart good.
GSK, finding a way forward, one community at a time.
The Dallas businesswoman who paid the Russians $20 million for a ride to the International Space Station seems to think it was money well spent, despite some discomfort early on.
It was a rough start for space tourist Anusha Ansari.
The trip up here was not fun for me.
She says she suffered many of the indignities that other first-time space flyers go through.
Back pain, headache, and motion sickness.
But she says that's all behind her. She's having a great time doing experiments, writing her blog, even chatting with her office from the International Space Station. Her favorite moment?
The moment I was able to see the Earth for the first time.
Not a bad view for $20 million. Peter King, CBS News.
After 12 days aboard Space Shuttle Atlantis, astronaut Heidi Marie Stefanishin Piper had some trouble at readjusting to life on Earth. She collapsed today during a welcome home ceremony in Houston and had to be helped by crewmates and NASA officials. Astronauts typically lose 10% to 14% of their blood volume while they're weightless. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Need a new roof? The Home Depot can solve your roofing problems with Timberland Shingles from GAF, North America's number one roof. And in most areas, our home services experts can even install your new roof. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT today. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for license numbers.
Let's do it.
All right, Tone, we'll do it. We head into the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, and as I mentioned at the top of the program today, each of our guests could have filled up the entire program by himself. And we're going to put the squeeze next on Brad Friedman to get 3 hours worth of material into the next 54 minutes. Good evening, Brad.
Can do.
I know you're good. You're a radio guy, and you know how to get it said.
I'll get you a week's worth of material into these 54 minutes.
Brad, as you know, is the proprietor of bradblog.com, one of the leading sites to find information about the problems with our election systems, the struggle for voter integrity, and the daily challenges that we face. And Brad's been so busy this week, not just covering all of the fires that have broken out around the country, but also contributing to great radio shows like the Tom Hartman program yesterday. I heard him on with Will and Willie in San Francisco on Wednesday. As I was putting out my recycling, I had to sit there at the curb for another 20 minutes to hear what you had to say. So you've been very busy, Brad, and it's going to be like this through the election and maybe beyond.
As a matter of fact, I'm so busy that during this hour, I'm actually on another radio show, a pre-record, in Los Angeles. So I'm competing against myself. Nobody listening out there would possibly be able to tune into the L.A. station, so it's okay.
Well, okay. I don't mind that. We don't feel competitive, because the more you can get the word out, the more we will all benefit. And why don't we start off in Maryland, if you'd like, because that's a story that has been gaining some momentum. Their primary was a week ago Tuesday. There were widespread problems, and now the governor of Maryland has said no more electronic machines.
Well, that's right. He is calling, Bob Ehrlich is calling for all paper ballots to be used this November after they had their meltdown last week in the primary. Now, this personal pet peeve here drives me a little bit nuts, because these sorts of meltdowns, frankly, have been happening everywhere across the country since the very first primary on March 7th up in Texas. But I think, the D.C. media, they live out there in Montgomery County, Maryland, and a lot of the politicians. So all of a sudden, they're noticing. That said, that's okay. I'll take it. Whatever it takes, as long as they're noticing. The other thing that irks me a little bit here is that another reason I think they're noticing is because you've got a Republican governor out there. Bob Ehrlich is Republican, and he is calling for a paper ballot. So, you know, when you had a bunch of Democrats saying we have a problem with the election system, and you know there was some 200 plus folks had signed on to Rush Holt's H.R. 550 that would require paper records. I'm not crazy about the bill, but it's a good effort. But it was able to get absolutely no traction. It's been sitting there really for the last 2 years now. But now we've got a Republican governor coming out and calling for paper ballots, and people are suddenly paying attention. Even Fox News, I understand, ran a story on that today. So while that's a little frustrating, frankly, I don't care. Whatever it takes to get the word out that we've got a disaster on our hands and that we're headed towards a train wreck this November.
Now, we've talked quite a bit this week about your call for LAVA, the Let America Vote Act, and this would be emergency legislation to place paper ballots and make them available in every precinct in the United States for the midterm elections coming up on November 7.
Yeah.
And it would appear that Governor Ehrlich of Maryland is in sync with you. Tell me what kind of progress you might have achieved. It's just been a week since the idea was floated. Are you getting some support?
Indeed we are, and you're right. It is pretty much exactly what he's calling for, although I think he's calling to scrap the machines entirely this November and just go straight to all paper ballots. What I'm calling for with the Let America Vote Act is pretty simple. A piece of paper that allows, when people go to the polls, if they choose to use the paper to vote on, they can. Or even perhaps more notably, if the machines aren't working. We've seen this happen now, in virtually every primary when people do show up to vote. You know, it's hard enough to get people to show up to vote. But when they have been showing up this year, they found that the machines were not working. In some cases, they weren't even there yet, where you had these voting machine sleepovers and the poll workers hadn't bothered to bring them in until noon or so.
Well, some of those touchscreens keep code writers hours, and they just can't get up at the crack of dawn.
They're exhausted. They had a big party the night before. They just can't make it. Well, what that means, though, is that these folks who are coming in to vote are being told, oh, come back later. Now, you know, as you know, we run our election days for some reason, during work days.
Mm-hmm.
So people really can't come back later. In the best of the situations, these people have been given provisional ballots, and they've been allowed to vote that way. The problem with provisionals, though, is that often they're not counted at all, sometimes not until later. They have to run them through this, you know, process to make sure the voter is registered and all sorts of things, and they fight about it. Look, if someone shows up, they're a registered voter, they are on the list, they are good to go, but the only thing stopping them from casting a vote is that these stupid machines don't work, hand them a piece of paper and let them vote. They've already got the paper ballots because it's mandated that they have to have these provisional ballots. The provisional ballots can be used as emergency paper ballots if they are, you know, given a mandate to do exactly that. Seems like common sense to me. And, you know, a lot of people have asked, well, how are those going to be counted? At this point, with five legislative days left in the U.S. Congress, I don't care how they're counted. Just let the people vote. We've gotten great traction on it. A lot of the election integrity groups have jumped in immediately on this. Voters Unite put out a statement this morning. Of course, my group, VelvetRevolution.us, put out a statement in support of this. Some of the other groups, I'm told, Voter Action, the group that has been filing lawsuits around the country, they're putting out a statement in support of this. And by the way, I've got some breaking news on one of their lawsuits we can do later. Just posted to Brad Blood. But so those folks are coming on board, and we're now hearing a lot of folks in Congress have been contacting me. Folks have been contacting them. I got some calls yesterday. I don't want to yet put anyone on the spot, but I will tell you that at least two different senatorial offices have written back with almost the exact same quote saying, we love this. And that we're going to, you know, take it to the staff and the policy folks and see if we can get this drafted up. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hearing that we may, and I don't want to say it's for certain, but that we may see the legislation introduced on Monday in both the House and the Senate if all goes well. We'll see.
Okay. Well, keep us posted on that. If there's any breaking news, let us know as soon as that news breaks.
Will do.
Let me think. We got about 2 minutes before the next break here. Why don't we talk next about RFK Jr.'s story? I haven't read it yet, but it's in the new Rolling Stone, and I understand that Brad Friedman had some input there.
Yes, he did. I had actually worked with Bobby for a few months on this story, and it covered a lot of what Peter V. Collins show listeners will be familiar with, because it was a lot of stuff that I've broken on Brad blog over the last several months. It reported on several sources of mine and some of the extraordinary things that they found going back all the way to Maryland in 2002 when Diebold pushed its way into Maryland and Georgia with their machines, with the help, as we have talked of a fellow by the name of Bob Ney from Ohio,
mm-hmm.
who's going to jail, and I believe as a felon, he'll no longer be able to vote, but you and I, Peter, will be stuck with his Help America Vote Act that he pushed through Congress.
Mm-hmm. And any other revelations in the RFK story?
Yeah, there was a number of them, including the fact that going back to 2002, the primary election where they first used these touchscreen machines in Maryland was such a disaster, such a mess, that you actually had Bob Yurosevich, the president of the Diebold Election Division, in there feeding memory cards into the tabulator. Into the tabulator room in Montgomery County, Maryland. That is a huge no-no. Nobody with the company should be actually in there counting the votes, much less the president of the company. And, of course, as you know, good friend to Walden O'Dell, the CEO of the company, the now former CEO of the company, who had promised to deliver Ohio to George W. Bush back in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason he should have been in there. This is going to have ramifications. I understand the Washington Post is now looking into this. And what I'm hoping is that the election director out there, Linda Lamone, who is a Democrat, by the way, who allowed these machines to come in, and she's been apologizing for them ever since, that woman needs to be out of a job. And I'm hoping that some of those revelations in Bobby's story, we've got extended excerpts of Brad Blog, will helpfully move her out of a job real quick.
All right. We're going to take a break and continue with Brad Friedman. If you have a question or comment about issues related to voting, electronic voting machines, and election integrity, we'd like to hear from you. Brad's on for the entire hour at 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number, 888-573-8372, or 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, peter at peterbcollins.com. We'll continue in a moment. It's 17 after the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay Area to Soledad. First off, northbound 101, just after the Soledad State Prison. A large canvas sheet is blocking the left-hand lane, causing a little bit of slowing in the area. Over to Castroville, Highway 1, just south of 183, a metal piece of debris bouncing around the lanes of traffic. At last report, it was between the lanes, but it could do damage to your vehicle. Also, a stall in Gilroy still in the works, southbound 101 at Highway 25, a stalled car partially blocking the left-hand lane. Stay to the right. And in Carmel now, Mesa Drive at Oak Place, a tree-trimming truck doing some late Friday work is blocking the roadway there. This look at traffic brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today, and on approved credit, you'll make no down payments, no monthly payments, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands at discount prices every day. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
The U.S.-Iran plan has a nuclear option. The target is most likely Natanz, which is the identified nuclear development site. From online photos of construction at this facility, we know there are 3 meters of concrete, 18 meters of soil. And earlier this year, I asked the Iranian ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency about Natanz. He talked about 2 floors. That could mean the important part of the facility is even deeper. A few months ago, a Guardian reporter told Sam Gardner the plan was being written with 80% confidence requirements. In other words, after 5 days of strikes, we want to be 80% confident we have destroyed an individual target. Given this rather normal 80% confidence requirement, it's easy to see how the target people could conclude we can't have that kind of confidence without using a nuclear weapon. The planned weapon is probably the B-61. My guess is it would be used with a yield of less than 10 kilotons. It would be delivered by a B-2. The fireball, however, would be above ground. There would be fallout. The only good news is that the pattern from Natanz would mean the radiation would miss most populated areas. It's difficult to exaggerate the significance of the plan. The United States would only be the second country in 61 years to use weapons of mass destruction. The other was Iraq. Saddam Hussein used chemicals on Iranians and Kurds. The taboo against the use of nuclear weapons has been in our interests. The United States would break that taboo. To prevent the development of nuclear weapons, we could commit an act of normalizing nuclear weapons. To prevent the spread of nuclear weapons, we could initiate a global movement to acquire them. On the morning after that flash in the desert, the security structure of the world would change. We will have set in motion effects we can't even imagine. That's the latest from Colonel Sam Gardner. We've invited him to come on the program next week, and we'll keep you posted on when we can make that happen. We return now to Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And, Brad, up next, I wanted to talk about the operation in Washington this week over the photo ID requirement. We saw the Hyde bill come out on a party-line vote. And it is amazing to me that they would offer this requirement. It's not supposed to take effect until 2010, but there would be an incremental 2008 requirement for a photo ID, and then by 2010, a photo ID that includes citizenship, which is a passport. That's the only document currently in circulation that meets those criteria. And this bill has been passed out even though courts in Georgia and Missouri have struck down state-level photo ID requirements for voters.
Yeah, they've struck them down time and time again. And one thing, and by the way, on just real quickly on the other note, I have a feeling you probably covered this, but you perhaps saw the reports yesterday from Karl Rove over at the right-wing website Newsmax that there would be an October surprise.
I have heard that.
Yeah, so perhaps this is it. Not good. In any case.
Yeah.
They've been trying to pass these photo ID laws around the country. They've really been doing it since just after the 2004 election when I caught a phony front group by the name of the American Center for Voting Rights testifying again at Bob Ney's House Administrative Committee back then, suggesting that the problems in Ohio was somehow voter fraud as opposed to election fraud. It became very clear right then and there that this was their smokescreen to keep folks away from election fraud and try to morph those problems into voter fraud. Now, what we've found in these cases around the country where they've tried to bring these photo ID suits or photo ID laws is that, yeah, in fact, they are found to be unconstitutional, that they are Jim Crow era poll taxes, essentially, because fact of the matter is millions will be disenfranchised. As it turns out, the folks who don't have photo ID driver's license, for example, tend to be urban minorities, the elderly, the infirmed, and so forth, you know, your 80-year-old grandmother who doesn't drive anymore. And coincidentally, they happen to be Democratic-leaning voters in general. So, I mean, this is, frankly, it's a sickening scam. There is no actual voter fraud problem that we know of. I know you and I, believe, have talked about a report by the League of Women Voters. The last two national elections in Ohio, they found that with more than 9 million votes, they were only able to identify 4 cases of voter fraud.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is just another Republican scam. These Republicans who, frankly, hate democracy, they hate American values, you know, like one man, one vote, and they're going to do everything they can to game the system. This is exactly what it is, and they're making these charges that, oh, you've got these illegal aliens who are voting. And,
yeah, I mean, what a crock that
there's
is.
There's no evidence for that, nothing.
I mean, most undocumented people who are in this country are afraid to go to the frickin' post office because they think they're going to have contact with La Migra and get deported.
Indeed, and as a matter of fact, down in Georgia, when they proposed the law, they asked on the House, in the House where they proposed it, you know, what sort of examples of voter fraud have existed that this bill would stop, and the people who were actually bringing the legislation could give no examples. The only voter fraud they could come up with was the absentee ballot voter fraud, which photo ID requirements will not even address.
Yeah.
So if you're voting by absentee or military ballots, which happen to be, strongly weighted towards Republicans, no photo ID is required for those. It's just folks showing up at the polls, and just as mentioned, coincidentally, hundreds and thousands of Democratic-leaning voters. It's reprehensible, and you know what? They may well get away with it because, when people hear it and they make this case, oh, you need a photo ID to get on a plane, to go to the bank, to do all of this, people say, yeah, that makes sense. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the purple ink. I'm okay with that.
Well, and in this case, the Democrats at least got it because it was a party line vote and only three Democrats defected and voted for the Hyde bill in the House.
Really? I didn't even know there was three who voted for it. I can't wait to find out who they are.
I couldn't actually. I had the whole list, but I couldn't easily identify them. I believe there were four Republicans who voted against it. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, this has actually been a difficult issue for me over the past week or two because there's so much breaking and so much that will affect these upcoming November elections. I've sort of had to do triage here.
Time for a break, Brad. We'll return in a moment with Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Prunetta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Prunetta of Prunetta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunettaRealEstate.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
How children acquire speech and language is a complex process. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and two outstanding experts to understand normal speech and language development, when to seek help if there are delays, and some of the advantages of speaking more than one language at home.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Man, just look at this high-tech voting machine. It's made by the same people who make the automatic 20 machine that's never, shortchanged you. It's high-tech, man. Our election's going to be perfect. Yes, they've tried to blind us with the science and the technology of these electronic voting machines, but we're not buying it. I'm Peter B. Collins. They named the show after me, and Brad Friedman joins us every Friday to talk about these issues and keep us posted on developments. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com. And we're joined by Tom, who's in Eureka, and I understand Tom is at the courthouse. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I want to thank you both for calling attention to the electoral issues with the voting machine. I'm an information systems analyst, so I understand what back doors are. And, you guys are really doing a wonderful public service. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Now, Tom, if we were able to get you a DRE machine, what would you do with it as an IT guy?
I do a little bit of programming, mostly with Microsoft Access. I'm not as well versed as like these Princeton professors are who recently were doing these, showing what the hacks are. But, I understand the concepts and we really do need to pay close attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scientific method. We need to be able to verify things.
Mm-hmm.
We should need to be able to go back and reproduce this.
Brad, hold on. Brad has a comment. Go ahead, Brad.
Tom, I got good news for you, Tom. The Diebold GEMS Central Tabulator is an Access database, Microsoft Access database.
I mean, that's kind of a scary thought in a way.
Well, yeah, you know how easy it is to hack in and do anything you want with that system, and the fact that that's what they are using as their so-called secure tabulator. I mean, this is the Central Tabulator, Tom, using Microsoft Access. Would you recommend that as an IT guy?
No, not from what I've read in various journals. That's really not the way to go.
No, it's not the way to go. And that's what's incredible is that people who understand, there was a time when folks, and you'll still hear it every now and again, that folks like me who are against this sort of electronic voting. They say, oh, you're just Luddites. You're afraid of progress and technology. Well, you know, I was a computer programmer for 10 years. And, you know, anybody who understands what it is that, how these machines work, you cannot find an IT guy or a computer scientist or a computer security expert who would recommend using these machines.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I talk to people and they feel the same way. I read about this professor at Stanford, Professor Dill.
David Dill.
Dill. And I agree with what the points that he's making about having to verify things. You know, it's not, we don't necessarily have to have open source, but, you know, it does have to be verifiable, whatever it is that we do.
Well, I'm going to fade you out. We're going to come back to you, Tom, because it's pretty noisy there at the courthouse. Brad, what about the open source issue? Why is that so important?
Well, the idea is, you know, when you do, and what we've learned from the studies that have come up when we have been able to get these machines to computer scientists and professionals, they immediately find problems. It's easy to find. These aren't complicated hacks. The folks at Princeton, you know, I had gotten that machine to them, and the first day, they got back to me and said, oh, we have found that you can create your own voter access card and vote as many times as you want. They found that on the first day. So, you know, when you open these systems, if you use open source software that everyone can look at, everyone can find out where the bugs are to help troubleshoot it, and they can also find out if there is anything in there that simply doesn't work, any back doors like Tom was talking about. So You have to, if you're going to use these systems, you must have complete transparency and open it up to the whole wide world. It's not real complicated, you know. These machines essentially add 1 + 1. It's not rocket science, and this notion that the companies, the private companies who own these things have been allowed to keep them secret is just an outrage for democracy.
Tom, you hear that?
Yeah, I have. You know, I really think we do need a paper trail on all of these things that people, that the voter can verify. Say, okay, here's the output. This is what I voted, and that's really going to be where the verification comes in at.
Well, I'll remind you when you talk about, and this is a big bugaboo of mine. When we talk about paper trail, a paper trail is useless if you don't count it. Now, California has a paper trail law, so our machines, even the touchscreen systems, put out a paper trail. The problem is they don't count those paper trails. They count, they use the machine total instead. You have to have a paper ballot. A ballot is a thing which is counted, and we need paper ballots. We can fight about if they're going to be optically scanned or not. But one thing I know is we need a ballot because that is actually counted. These, this paper trail business is a complete and utter scam that does nothing more than give voters a false sense of security that there actually is a paper trail that is being counted.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Tom, I want to thank you for the call.
Sure.
Really appreciate hearing from you this afternoon. Now, Brad, to pursue the item about the paper trail for a moment, one of the things that became clear to me when the late, great Monterey County Registrar of Voters, Tony Anchundo, came on the program with the demo, is that it's possible for the screen and the paper trail to match, but the data collected in the memory card could be different.
Well, that's right. And what we also found out when they went, they had a meltdown in the recent primary election up in Cuyahoga County, Ohio. And they had an independent group go in there and take a look at what exactly happened, and they found that nothing matched up, that what was in the internal hard drive and on the paper trails and on the memory card and on the final report they printed out at the night, in many cases gave four completely different numbers.
Wow.
From the same machine. And, you know, once again, there's an example where, you know, when they let independent folks come in and look at these things, they immediately find bugs. And but they don't have independent folks. Most of the states, many of the states, are completely scamming us when they say that these machines are certified. The certification procedure in California is a complete and utter scam. They've got Diebold representatives working out of the Secretary of State's office. And what we just saw in the Colorado case, there was a lawsuit brought in Colorado to stop the use and purchase of electronic voting machines in that state. And that's some of the breaking news I got for you.
Right.
But the judge just came down with their decision about an hour or so ago, and they won, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But what they found was the guy they hired in Colorado had absolutely no computer science education. He didn't do anything, and he didn't even test these machines other than to look at them to find out if they had the documentation that they were supposed to come with. He saw that they did, he said, yes, they're certified. It's incredible what's going on.
Yeah.
Alarming.
And so the details of the voter action suit in Colorado are they challenged the certification of machines by Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia, and Hart InterCivic. And I don't see additional details here. Maybe you're waiting for them to come in. But the word you got is that the plaintiffs have won?
The word, I do have additional details. It's right at the top of the blog with the siren. I got a call from Holly Jacobson, who represents Voter Action, and she says that they won. However, the suit was to stop the use and purchase of these machines in Colorado. The judge decided there wasn't enough time to do away with the machines prior to this November's election. However, new security measures would be put in place. Voter Action themselves, the plaintiffs here, would be allowed to create these new security measures, and the machines would become immediately decertified after the election, and they would have to start the entire election certification procedure now from scratch with new procedures in place, which Holly Jacobson has said, their lead attorney has said, that the new procedures are so strict that she can't see how the touchscreen systems out there will be even allowed to be certified in that state.
Very interesting. That's quite a development. Now, Brad, coming back to the Princeton study, two things. One is I understand that we have not seen all of the information that has been produced by the Princeton analysis. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is more to come. And I can't remember if some of this came before I was on with you last week. Did the hotel minibar key, did we talk about that?
I was just about to ask you about that. And here's how I'll frame it. When I was a kid, we got our first remote control garage door opener.
Yeah.
And I drove around the neighborhood trying to see if I could open other people's garage doors. And it didn't work. I was actually surprised. I figured because I looked at the back and, there are just a few different wireless channels that were available at the time. I also tried with TV remote controls, where I'd go to somebody else's house with my remote and see if it would work. And with that concept in mind, explain to us about the keys used to control these electronic voting machines.
Okay, I will. But first I have to mention that you're a strange person if you bring your TV remote control to other people's houses. By way of experiment.
I was a teenager, okay?
I see, yeah.
It was a while back. It was when they were new.
But you've got a hacker's heart, apparently.
Yeah, I do.
So if you wanted to get at these voting machines, it would be pretty easy because one of the things Princeton came out with, they were showing the key. Supposedly, they love to say, and they do this here in California, oh, there's a lock and key over these memory cards. You could never get to them when you send them home on these sleepovers. Well, not so. Diebold uses the same key for every touchscreen machine that they use. And, in fact, one of the poll workers I talked to said that they have their key still from the primary election. They tried to return it, and the registrar's office down there in San Diego said, oh, just go ahead and hang on to it. So now that person has the key to every Diebold machine. But not just that person. Apparently anyone who has ever gone to a hotel where they had a mini bar and you took the key home with you, the Princeton scientists found when they were showing what they had to someone, a fellow there said, that key looks familiar. He went home, came back with his hotel mini bar key, and was able to open up the Diebold touchscreen system, get at the memory card, after which we've discussed Princeton show that you could insert anything you wanted on there, a vote-flipping virus that would go from machine to machine and never be found.
Now, here's my question. When you utilize the mini bar key to activate a touchscreen voting machine, does it offer you a drink or a candy bar at an exorbitant rate?
They give you nothing with these deep old machines. It's really a ripoff. You don't even get to vote accurately.
We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You can bring on a question or comment still at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. Right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar, coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pilar for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. First off, a problem in Scotts Valley, Mount Hermon Road on-ramp to northbound 17. It's a stalled car blocking that ramp. As we're on the subject of Highway 17, southbound side, we see that slowing in the Summit area, but always a little worse on the Friday commute. We are seeing that slow traffic now from the Summit all the way into Santa Cruz to around Highway 1. North and southbound Highway 1, brake lights, but no stalls or crashes. Just a little slow between Carmel and Monterey. Highway 25, same goes. No stalls or crashes, no debris, but some brake lights you will see. A little slow go between Gilroy and Hollister, also eastbound 68. Slower now from Monterey to Salinas. This look is brought to you by Sleep Train. Purchase any Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, Beauty Rest, Posturepedic, or Stearns & Foster mattress sets from Sleep Train. Today, you'll get a luxurious 600 thread count sheet set valued at $199, absolutely free. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the keys to the minibar can give you the key to the election. I'm Peter B. Collins. We continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com here on the program today. Hey, Brad, I got an email from our buddy Bob Furtick at Democrats.com.
Yeah.
And they are offering a free online service if you go to mydem.democrats.com, or I think you can just do mydem.org.
Org, yeah.
It allows you, first you have to log in, and then you can check your own voter registration. Now, this is a very interesting service. I haven't used it yet. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to test it either. I think it's a very good idea, though, because what's happening is, once again, the infamous Help America Vote Act has
mandated centralized registration databases for every state. So all of these states are now changing their registration from, you know, local county registration to state registration. And in the process, we saw earlier this year that across the state of California since January 1, 23% of new registered voters have been denied registration and kicked out of the system, 41% in Los Angeles alone. So a lot of folks may need to find out if they've registered to vote, if in fact that registration has gone through. And in other cases, we found in 04 and 05 that people who had been registered for years suddenly went to the polling place on election day and found out for some reason their name was no longer on there. So this should be a good service. Check, make sure you're properly registered and nobody's monkeying with it.
Yeah, yeah. And one example is, for example, if my voter file is Peter Collins, but my driver's license is Peter B. Collins,
right,
they could cross-check those databases and kick me off the voter roll. Is that right?
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly what they did out here in California. The bad guys realize that they win when fewer people vote, because the fewer the vote, the easier it is going to be for the Republicans basically to stay in power. So they are doing everything they can. They're gaming the system from the front, from the back, with the photo IDs, with the registration, with these machines. I mean, our democracy is just really under assault here. And, it does demand that eternal vigilance, and I forget who made the quote, but that's what is really needed by each and every citizen at this point, because as you and I have talked about, you know, the media is not doing the job of exposing this chicanery. So it's right now, it's up to all of us to make sure that this system even survives at this rate.
And here's a highly vigilant Peter B. Collins Show listener. It's Ben in Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter B., and I do like to thank you for the admonishment that I need to cool it. But here's my anger, sir. In 2006, we're talking about the integrity of the vote. Who would believe that? Without our vote, we are nothing. We are at the mercy of these Nazi bastards who are running the show. When is America going to wake up and smell the sulfur? Good afternoon, gentlemen. Okay. Keep up the fight.
Thank you.
Was that Mr. Chavez?
That's what he was referring to, yeah.
Yeah, I think people do need to wake up. But, I hear a lot of people saying, Americans are stupid. And, I have a hard time blaming the citizens. I really do. I mean, I have to put it squarely with the media and their failure. You know, you and we talk every week about this, but you are an extraordinary exception. Most of the folks, whether it's TV, print, radio, they just don't cover this. You know, I do a lot of shows, but sometimes I'll go on a show for, 7 minutes once every 3 or 4 months at best.
Right.
And, you and I never run out of things to talk about on this matter. And frankly, it just seems to me that the core of our democracy, the right to vote, is that important that it deserves the kind of coverage that you give it. I'm amazed the rest of the media doesn't. And, if they're not going to give it the coverage, it's hard to blame Americans for not knowing what the heck is going on.
Yeah, there is occasional coverage. On Bradblog, you've got the latest blast from Lou Dobbs, and I don't agree with Lou on a lot of other issues, but I'm delighted that he shares our deep concerns about these issues.
Yeah.
And, there are a few other outposts. I think that Keith Olbermann is very aware of these issues and hammers them when his corporate minders permit that subject to be aired. But by and large, when it is presented, I remember last week I saw a shot on MSNBC about noon Eastern time. It's about 9 o'clock Pacific. And they gave it about 4 minutes. Bev Harris from Black Box Voting was there and was permitted to offer the kind of indictment that you would. But it was played off, you know, with another guest who basically said, well, you know, these hacks are possible, but I'm not terribly concerned. And so the final tone was, here is a kind of shrill person who's yelling fire, and here's somebody else saying, now, honey, it's not that bad.
Just the fact that they admit that, oh, it's possible, but they're not all that concerned. I mean, would they feel that way if somebody said, oh, it is possible to pick the lock on the bank door, but we don't think any on the, you know, on the safe in the bank, but we don't think anyone's going to do it? Well, I guarantee you that there is more money at stake in each and every election that happens in this country than any particular bank vault in the country. And they wouldn't stand for that. They wouldn't stand for it could happen, but it probably won't. You know, when it came to walking away with the actual cash.
Right, and the other example that we've touched on before is that Diebold makes a lot of automatic 20 machines, or automatic tellers, if you prefer.
Yep.
And I have never gotten an extra 20. I have never been shorted a 20 when I used an ATM. And
right.
If the problems that we encounter in the voting machines were present in these teller machines, you know, that'd be fixed faster than Who Shot Bob.
Well, right. You don't think they would say, well, yeah, you could hack into an ATM machine, but it probably won't happen. I have a feeling they wouldn't say that. Hey, listen, before we run out of time here, I do want to point folks over to a Brad blog. Scroll down a few items where it says SOS Project endorses Let America Vote Act.
Yeah, I saw that one. What? Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Secretary of State Project, it's a group that's promoting secretaries of state, their election this year, so they can sort of do away with your J. Kenneth Blackwells and your Catherine Harris, and, you know, they're supporting good folks like Deborah Bowen out here in California. They have endorsed the Let America Vote Act, calling for emergency paper ballots this November, and they've created a great page where you can just fill out your name and address, and it will send an email automatically to your representative asking them right now to get in there and endorse, propose this legislation and get it passed in the 5 days that we have, 5 legislative days or so that we have left before they break for the election. I think nothing right now at the federal level is more important to make sure we get done.
Well, I just clicked on that link, and as soon as we wrap up the show, I'll fill out the form and send that in.
Thank you, and please don't count on anyone else to do this, so I hope your listeners will take it upon themselves to do it. Trust me, the folks on Capitol Hill really do hear it when you guys fill out these things and they get pounded with the email requests to do the right thing.
All right. Well, Brad, thank you for your advocacy, and don't wear out. We need you.
I'm here.
All right. Very good. And log on to bradblog.com for breaking news over the weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday, Brad.
You bet. Thanks, buddy.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Spinach will soon be back in your supermarket's produce section. Federal health officials still haven't pinpointed the source of the E. coli outbreak, but Dr. David Acheson at the FDA says spinach from outside the implicated area in California's Salinas Valley is safe.
The public can be confident that spinach grown in those non-implicated areas can be consumed. And industry is working to get spinach from these areas back onto the market as soon as possible.
Acheson says the produce industry is working on ways to let people know that the spinach they're buying is okay.
The industry is obviously going to have to ensure that consumers are made aware that this spinach is from non-implicated areas. If FDA finds a problem, then obviously we would react to that and take action.
E. coli sickness is confirmed in 25 states now, including one death, but E. coli is suspected in two additional deaths, a child in Idaho and an elderly woman in Maryland. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports the way the Iraqi army operates has become a major source of frustration for American military leaders.
I need more Iraqi security forces.
That's Army Major General James Thurman, the U.S. military commander in Baghdad. He told reporters today that he needs about 3,000 Iraqi soldiers in Baghdad, but they're having trouble getting them to the capital from around the country.
Some of the soldiers, due to the distance, did not want to travel into Baghdad, and the Minister of Defense is working with that.
Baghdad has become the central focus in the battle to stop sectarian violence and hold off a civil war in the country.
Retired Army Major Mike Lyons is a CBS News military consultant.
It's important from a legitimacy perspective. If Iraqi troops come in and they're trying to quell problems in Iraqi neighborhoods, the Iraqi security forces potentially have more legitimacy to discuss and to defuse any kind of tension that could happen there.
In Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere, the U.S. military death toll in the war on terror has now reached 2,973, equaling the number of people who died in the terrorist attacks 5 years ago. An embarrassing admission for U.S. Capitol Police. They now say that when an armed man invaded the building on Monday, he was tackled by civilian employees, not officers. But a police spokeswoman says, "We were hot on his trail." Nature can do strange things, but Mike Brendel, a poultry farmer in Somerset, Pennsylvania, had never seen a four-legged chicken before.
The foreman of the crew, Smoot, told me he had four.